Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest today is Anne Berg, and she is out with a brand new book entitled Force of Nature. It is a novel of Rachel Carson, and it is written in free verse, which is just a fantastic way to read a novel, as I've come to find over the years. And jumping right into this, it's a novel of Rachel Carson, as you say. Rachel Carson, to me, is somebody that has really kind of gone up and down as far as popularity in the zeitgeist of the human culture, especially American culture. When you sat down to take her on as a topic, what was it about this particular time in history when you thought this book would work for young readers?
Well, I had been researching climate change, thinking about climate change, worrying about climate change, and her name kept popping up. So she may be forgotten a little bit, but her name kept popping up, and some beautiful things she said about the earth and how we should treat the earth and one with the earth and being connected to the earth. So, and the more I read her, the more I loved her and felt that it was a good time to shine a light on her and remind people that this is not a new discovery, that we are part of nature and we're responsible for nature and we should take care of nature. So, I think it was a good time to shine a light on her again.
When you write the book in free verse, I found it very easy to read, and I think it's so remarkable when writers will do this because it flows so easily. When you structure the lines, when you start a new line, what goes into that for you as a writer to decide, I'm going to start a new line here? Because it's always in the middle of a sentence or a thought or how that works. I think free verse is just such a beautiful art form, but it seems very complicated for a writer to do.
No, actually, it's easy for a writer to do because when I write in free verse, I'm usually writing in the first person. So I'm talking as if I am that, I am that person. I become that person for the moment, and so the words really and the line breaks occur where I've stopped to think. I, the character, have stopped to think about what I'm saying. Or I want to emphasize something. It's really kind of, it's very natural. It's not like you write the whole thing and then put in breaks. You listen to a voice, and when the voice takes a breath, or when a voice pauses to consider what she's saying, then you're on the next line. It's just very natural when I'm writing. It's actually easier for me. I once wrote a verse novel and then was asked to write it again as a chapter book, and I couldn't do it because I was putting in stuff that had nothing to do with it. Verse novel just flows.
The thing I always think about Rachel Carson, it seems like she's a one-word trivia answer for me in Silent Spring. Everybody knows that. You'll see a crossword clue, author of Silent Spring, blank Carson, or something like that. But you chose to focus a lot on the developmental period of her life. And so as you took yourself back, probably you had to take yourself back to your own childhood to think how a child would think. But when there's a character as complicated as Rachel Carson, how do you take that mindset of a complicated character and go back to a childhood that was different than yours in a lot of aspects as far as what she was concerned herself with? You were a writer, she was into science. It seems like it's two different lifestyles.
Well, that's a great question, and there's two different ways I want to answer it. So first I'll take on the why I started with a childhood kind of thing, because she is like an icon. And so when I went back to when I was seeing her, I wanted to know more about her. And this is just something that's part of me, that I always I used to be a teacher, and I would say that we venerate their deeds, but then dismiss their humanity and forget that they were human. So you always have to start with her as a human, like what made her the way she was. And of course, that's going to start with, what were her experiences, what was she exposed to as she was growing up. So that really wasn't that hard for me, because that's usually my starting point. It's like, what makes a person like that? Or you know, and again, I was a teacher. So if you've got a classroom and there's someone in there who's a bully or whatever, why is that person that way? So to me, it took Rachel a lot of courage to do the things she did. So what could give a person that much courage? And so that's kind of why I started there. But it's interesting, the other part of the answer is you asked, like, the difference between, you know, she thinks science and I think, and I write in poetry, or she was always a writer first. And what I really loved about learning, what I really learned from Rachel was that she did not discriminate between science and literature. She said when she received an award it was a science writing award, and she said in her mind there was no difference. And this was just profound for me because I never thought of myself as a science person. She said that the goal of science is to illuminate truth, and that she believed was also the goal of literature. And so there's really no difference between them. So it's more like how we express ourselves. Or so someone finds expression of that beauty or that discovery of truth through science, and I find it through poetry. But now, because of Rachel, I think I find it through science, too, because they are connected.
The thing I really took away from this about Rachel's younger years is the relationship between her parents and her and what the lessons they taught. And what I love that you brought out in the book is how her parents were, for lack of a better term, simple people. Dad is an insurance salesman, not exactly a career that you think would give rise to a budding scientist, but the lessons he taught, especially about choosing friends wisely, was that something that stood out to you from her childhood? Because it seems like they raised a very intelligent young lady here who did great things, more so than her parents did as far as gaining notoriety, but nevertheless, the parents' legacy is raising a child that grew up to be the Rachel Carson we all know.
I think that it's interesting. Her mother was a very imposing figure, and her father was almost a very quiet figure who had been kind of disappointed by life and his plans for life. So she grew up in a house where there was tension and sadness and lots of things that you would not wish on a child to grow up in, and a condition you wouldn't want a child to grow up in. But her companionship was nature, and it was really her mother taught. She always gives her mother credit for exposing her to nature, and that's why the book opens as it does. But so even giving the mother credit for exposing her to nature, I think the nature taught Rachel. I think nature brought Rachel up because nature taught her that winter comes, but spring comes again. You know, flowers bloom and flowers die. So I think that her mother exposed her to nature and opened her eyes to it. But I think it was actually nature herself that brought Rachel up.
The book is Force of Nature, a novel of Rachel Carson. It's written in free verse. It's just a fantastic read. I took so much away from it. The writer is Anne Berg, the author of this book. Anne, I thank you for joining me to talk about your fantastic work here.
And I thank you so much for inviting me.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com, and subscribe to our iTunes podcasts. Thanks to music historian Molly Jolly and segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.
To live on the land, we must learn from the sea.